Oh, I never noticed the sermon went 25 minutes over time. You got a clock on me yet, Buzz? Number 8. Personally, I find witnessing much more enjoyable than golf. Number 7. I've decided to give our church the $500 a month I used to send to TV evangelists. Number 6. I volunteer to be the permanent teacher for the Sunday school class. Number 5. I love this one. We need to try that. After all, we've never done it that way before. Number 4. I love it when we sing hymns I've never heard before. Number 3. Since we're all here, let's just start worship service early. Number 2. We decided to attend church before we went out to water ski this morning. And finally, the number 1 thing you will likely never hear said in church: nothing inspires me and strengthens my commitment like our annual stewardship drive. I'm not sure I agree with the order of which to be on, but anyway, that's the list. So anyway, hopefully you found a little bit of humor in some of that. And so if you would please join me in a quick prayer. Gracious, loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last. We all know those words from Dr. Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. In the speech itself, he says that freedom should ring from every hamlet, from New York to Tennessee, and then he adds, when this happens, when we allow freedom to ring, when we let it ring from every tenement and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last. To me, the interesting thing about those words is that they were said long before the kind of freedom was achieved. In that speech, Dr. King claimed the promise of freedom when he and the people about whom he was talking were still bound by all kinds of restrictions. The same is true with Paul in the scripture for today. The scripture that I selected for today is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. If you care to read along, I'm reading the version that's in the few Bibles that you have there. So in this letter, Paul writes to the folks in Ephesus, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of Him who accomplishes all things according to His counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in Him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of His glory. According to some scholars, this letter, along with Colossians and Philemon, was written by Paul while he was in prison in Rome. Now, this prison may have been a kind of house arrest, but the tradition, at least, tells us that in the end he was martyred. He gave his life for his belief in Jesus. If that's the case, this is an especially interesting letter because Paul is in prison celebrating the freedom he had in Jesus Christ. He destined us for adoption as His children through Jesus Christ according to the good pleasure of His will, the Scripture says. And then later Paul says, "For He came to proclaim peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through Him both of us have access in one Spirit to the Father." Paul lives in freedom, peace, and joy, even though he was in prison. That's one thought that comes to me today. You know, most of us are imprisoned by something. In her book, Passages, Gail Sheehy tells the story of the former CEO of one of America's best-known corporations. She happened to see him in the golf pro shop of an exclusive resort. He was now retired, and he looked exhausted. After he left, the pro remarked, "You know that when I'm not busy, that poor fellow comes in, and all he can talk about is cars. No matter how successful we are, sometimes we look to other things to find fulfillment. Sometimes even our jobs or our success can become a trap or a prison." As I was preparing for this sermon, I ran across a study done by University of Wisconsin researchers. They interviewed 800 students on spring break in Panama City. And 3 out of 4 men said that they had been drunk at least once each day since the break began. Oddly enough, the figure was only slightly lower for women, at about 40%. Talk about being trapped or imprisoned. So many of us live in traps, in prisons, but Paul makes it clear in this scripture today that it is not God's will for us to do that. God sets us free, he says, even when others imprison us in ways that we can't change or make better. In fact, Paul says it was God's will from the beginning of time for that to happen. And he goes on to say that God's will is worked out in such a way that we can use our gifts productively to serve God. Paul's faith in Jesus Christ and in the mission he has been given to serve Jesus Christ sets him free, even while he is in prison. And our faith in Jesus Christ can help us realize our prisons, our traps, whatever they might be. Our faith can help us see how much God loves us, and it can set us on a path that leads to freedom. People who know God loves them, God has high hopes for them, work hard to get out of the traps the world and their own situations bring. Luther E. Smith, a professor of church and community at Emory University's Candler School of Theology, always gives his students a speech about living honestly. Faking it for a class session is one thing, he tells them, but it's so easy to find ourselves faking it a lifestyle. We fake it with others. We fake it with ourselves. We fake it with God. This summer I saw a bumper sticker that said, "Jesus is coming. Look busy." Faking it simply does not work. Finally, it matters who we really are. As I close this sermon, I invite you to look around the world. Look at people like Christopher Reeve, whose real character only became apparent when he seemed to be imprisoned by a handicap. Look at people like Corrie Ten Boom or Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who, though they were in prison, changed their world and ours. There is more than our prisons. That's what this scripture says. There is God and God's plan for us in Jesus Christ. And that plan frees us even from physical prisons like the prison Paul is in. I pray that you may know the hope to which God has called you. What are the riches and glorious inheritance among the saints, Paul tells these people. And to that, I would add that even though we might in some way feel imprisoned, my prayer in this new year is that through God's grace and glory, we will be made free. Now, the scripture I chose to talk about today comes from the Revised Common Lectionary for this Sunday. It's posted on the Christian Church Disciples of Christ website, disciples.org. The lectionary typically lists several Old and New Testament passages. And I'm kind of partial to New Testament kind of scripture, especially the Gospels. So when I was preparing for today, I initially chose the Gospel passage in today's lectionary, which was John 1, verses 1 through 18. And as I typically do, kind of an occupational hazard, research, right? So I was researching, and I don't know what we ever did without Google. So I Googled it. And still trying to figure out how to use AI, but I use it as a tool. And so I Googled, give me a 15-minute sermon on John 1, 1 through 18. Not going to happen. Oh, he gave me something. No way we could do it in 15 minutes. Probably a much longer message, or perhaps even as some ministers like to do, a series of messages. I remembered somebody mentioning, I knew this before, kind of forgot, somebody mentioned that, in the office, there's this file drawer that has all of Joe Barone's old sermons in there. And so I'm like, I'll just check that. Maybe Joe had a message on John 1, 1 through 18 that was 15 minutes long. And not to use it necessarily, but just use it as a resource, an idea, something, how to talk about that passage. So I came into the office. Somebody's done a wonderful job of organizing, whether it was Vernon when she worked in the office or Ashley's done. But Ashley took me to a room and said, "There's the box." So it's not a file drawer anymore, it's in a box. And it was remarkably organized. And actually had 14 years worth of sermons in there. And so I went down that rabbit hole and looked at every sermon from mid-1992 to early 2006. Looking for a message on John 1, 1 through 18. Never found it. you know, the lectionary usually has a number of different options. And I was going to pull it up on my phone, but I would never find it, so I just wrote it down. So for today, which is under the lectionary, it's the second Sunday after Christmas. It has a scripture of Jeremiah 31:7-14. It has the psalm. That was a lectionary scripture for today that Sister Loy read. And there were John 1:1-18. And then there was this, ultimately, the scripture I chose for today from Ephesians. And what I discovered, and I really went down this rabbit hole with that box of sermons. Sometimes Reverend Barone would go along with the lecture and use the lectionary for that Sunday. Sometimes he didn't. But in 14 years, I never found a message he gave on John 1:1-18. A couple of times, he did use one of the Old Testament passages to speak on, but never John 1:1-18. One time, he gave a sermon on the passage I chose for today. But with my OCD kicking in, I went in and made sure that all the sermons, because they were all dated. This was great. Every one of them had a date the sermon or the message was given, and the scripture that this message was on. And it was pretty well organized, but not all the way. Somebody been in there and moved them around a little bit. Well, now the box has them all in order. 1992 to 2006. Who likes reruns? Who likes to watch reruns? A lot of hands. Well, brothers and sisters, that is what you have heard today. You heard a rerun of a message delivered by Reverend Barone on January 3rd, 1999. 26 years ago. Why did I do that? Well, a couple of reasons. After I went down that rabbit hole, I spent a lot of time. I ran out of time. But more importantly, I think, the message remains valid today. Each one of us has personal prisons. In spite of those struggles, I will repeat what Reverend Barone proclaimed 26 years ago. There is more than our prisons. There is God and God's plan for us in Jesus Christ. May you know the hope to which God has called you, and that even though we might in some way feel imprisoned, my prayer in this new year is that through God's grace and glory, we will be made free. Amen. This is always a risky thing to do when I'm up here, because Brother Phil always threatened me that when I did this, he was going to come up here. I think the invitation to commitment is an important part of not only worship, but what we're called here to do as God's children. And so, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you wish to commit yourself to Christ, or if you wish to recommit yourself to Christ, or you wish to join this church by confession of faith or transfer of membership, you are invited to come forward as we stand and sing verses 1 and 5 of hymn number 172. Please stand.